Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, December the 9th. And our top story today is that a police control room manager who sent unarmed officers to a Dartford home just hours before a woman was shot has been cleared of gross misconduct. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this top story. So, Kate, tell us about what happened.
Well, this goes back to May 6th last year when Jacob Cloak turned up at his partner Hayley Burke's home, even though conditions were in place that meant he shouldn't contact her. A neighbour in Priory Road called 999 and told the call handler six times that Cloak had arrived with a handgun. Call transcripts read out during the misconduct hearing revealed Hayley had texted her neighbour to say the gun was loaded and Cloak wouldn't let her out of the property. Inspector Thomas McCall said he didn't have enough information to send armed officers to the scene. Because of that, unarmed officers were sent instead.
And what happened after they arrived?
They got to the property at around 2 p.m. and not long after that, several gunshots were heard. It was at that point armed officers were sent to the scene. However, before they arrived, Cloak took Hayley out of the house to a nearby garage and held her hostage. Cloak then called police and asked for cigarettes and water. He later demanded a blanket and sanitary pads for Hayley. The requests were refused. At 4:39, more shots were heard. Cloak had shot Hayley before turning the gun on himself and both later died in hospital.
Kate, why was the investigation launched?
Well, the Independent Office for Police Conduct were concerned about Inspector McCall's handling of the incident. He faced five allegations amounting to alleged gross misconduct. The hearing was told he joined the force in November 2000 and acted in the control room in more than 40 firearms incidents over the past 3 years. After listening to all of the evidence, the panel cleared the officer of all five of those allegations. They decided his decision to initially send unarmed officers was a reasonable response to the situation. Following the hearing, the force said their thoughts remain with Hayley's loved ones.
Kate, thank you ever so much. We share those sentiments. Our thoughts are very much with Hayley's loved ones.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And the owner of an animal sanctuary near Sittingbourne has told the Kent Online podcast she may be forced to leave Kent. Amy James has been given 9 months to get off her current site in Newington after she lost an appeal over planning. Well, she set up a fundraiser in a bid to buy another plot of land for more than 400 animals at Happy Pants Ranch. Amy's been chatting to me about the current situation.
I'm definitely feeling better about things. Obviously, the situation hasn't changed or anything, but yeah, I do feel like we've definitely got some hope, some light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just not sure where the tunnel's going to take us. You know,
yeah,
what I
was going to say, what are you thinking? Are you thinking of fighting this, or are you thinking of finding another site to move to?
I mean, to be honest, I don't know if we've got any options to fight it, because obviously that was the appeal. On the same sense, obviously, I do. If I had the money, I would move tomorrow. No question about it. Like, because this piece of land was never cherry picked. And we've sort of just had to make it work because we moved here without a choice of going anywhere else.
Ideally, you would be able to move to a new site. That would be the ideal solution, really.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, it's just the money. We have, unfortunately, when I first moved to this plot of land, because it had nothing on it, I ploughed all my divorce money and any money that I had into this bit of land. And now we have physically nothing to move with. That's my issue, which is why we've put the fundraiser up. If we can raise the funds, we will move to a new bit of land and just relocate, and it would be so much better.
Do you have any idea where you would like to move to? I mean, I know it's early days, but have you started to look around at where you could possibly find a bit of land that you could go to?
Haven't looked at land just yet, because I did this 4 years ago and I looked at land all over Kent. I even started looking in Wales and places like that, because obviously you get more for your money over there. It would be a shame to have to leave this area, like the local area, because we've been based here for 10 years and we've got a really good support network. But obviously I'm a great believer in fate and where the universe will take us. Something may come up in somewhere. I'm not attached to Kent. I like Kent and we've been here for a long time, but if something else came up somewhere else, I would just move, because to me, home is obviously where the animals are and the sanctuaries. So yeah, I'm open to suggestions, let's put it that way.
And all the animals would go with you, obviously. That would be additional cost, wouldn't it, to transport all of the animals as well?
Yeah. I mean, luckily the last move we had was literally about 5 miles. But even that was difficult. That was very challenging. So obviously, yeah, that's the only thing with going obviously further away is longer transport for the animals. But you know, it's doable. But unfortunately, yeah, the one thing that is obviously stopping all this from happening is funding, is money. We're only a small charity, completely reliant on donations. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have like a thousand K in the bank, sort of just sitting there for a situation like this. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. I'm just kind of, one minute I sort of flip between two emotions at the moment. One minute I'm sort of like feeling a bit hopeless, a bit sad, a bit, oh my God, what's going to, like, if I think too far, like, oh my God, by this time next year I'm not going to be here, which is crazy because obviously my house is here, or my summer house, my caravan, you know, and we've built the sanctuary here. And then, yeah, if I think about it too much, I could literally have a breakdown. So I sort of have to remain positive, and I just do think that maybe we're not meant to be here and we're meant to be somewhere better. This is maybe just hopefully a stepping stone onto something better.
You can also read about this story and see a link to the fundraiser at Kent Online. Two men who deliberately hit a teenager with a stolen car while he was riding his moped in Sevenoaks have been sent to prison. 16-year-old Tafari Thompson Minter was killed when he was forced into the path of an oncoming vehicle in October last year. A Surrey man was convicted of murder and sentenced to life with a minimum of 25 years. A London man was convicted of manslaughter and will serve 16. A man's died in hospital a month after being knocked down by a car in Maidstone. The 59-year-old had been crossing the A26 Tunbridge Road near the Esso petrol station when the collision happened. Crash investigators want to hear from anyone who saw it. A Gravesend man who continued to drive while banned has been sent to prison. Marius Lodgko was spotted drinking beer outside Lidl at the Imperial Retail Park before getting behind the wheel. The 47-year-old from Nansom Road also didn't have insurance. He's been sentenced to 8 weeks. And a 16-year-old boy is the latest person to be questioned about a huge fire in the derelict Canterbury Debenhams. They were arrested on suspicion of arson after the blaze broke out last Monday night. A 12-year-old girl and 15-year-old boy have been bailed. Another 15-year-old from Ashford was released without charge.
Kent Online reports.
A former Chatham boxer who sent messages to a woman on social media after being dumped has narrowly avoided jail. Wesley Hamill became aggressive and abusive following a drinking session. The 45-year-old received a suspended sentence. He must do unpaid work and rehab and pay more than £200. Clean-up operations are underway today after Kent was hit by Storm Dara. Strong winds brought down trees and disrupted travel across the county, but the yellow weather warning has now been lifted. Gusts of more than 90 miles per hour were recorded in some parts of the country, leaving tens of thousands of people without power. Now, a fake customer has managed to scam a Chatham vet out of thousands of pounds by using their card machine. We're told a man in a tracksuit and Crocs walked into the Clover Street Veterinary Clinic. Wallace Scott is a nurse at the practice. She's been speaking with Kristen Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV about what happened.
A gentleman came in from the high street requesting to purchase some flea treatment. Unfortunately, due to legislation change, we can't automatically give it to those not registered. However, he was able to purchase some household flea spray. So he wanted to purchase that, which we were more than happy to do. You don't have to be registered for that. So he wanted to do the payment by card. I put in the amount on our machine. And then from there, I gave him the card machine, he inserted his card, and somehow during that transaction, he's managed to refund himself. The sum was £5,900.
And how much was the initial cost of the treatment?
It was just £20, yeah.
Okay.
So he managed to change the amount of the transaction and change it from a sale transaction to a refund transaction, which is quite scary because the transaction happened within 10-20 seconds. So just goes to show how quick it can happen to anybody.
When did you find out that something was wrong? Was it as soon as he left or maybe a few hours later?
So automatically when he had the card machine, he told me his contactless didn't work and he wanted to use the chip and pin system, which we're more than happy to do. But during his time of having the card machine, a receipt was printed and he refused to give it to me. So generally you have a card holder and a merchant holder copy, and he refused to give me the merchant copy. So that signalled alarm bells.
And then maybe afterwards you had a look at the system?
Or? Yeah, so we can automatically do like an end of day print. So that will tell us the totals for that morning. And it showed an amount of 5,900 that didn't correlate with our morning take-ins. So I straight away called the bookkeeper to contact the card company to see if we could get the transaction stopped.
What does this mean for your business? I mean, obviously it's near Christmas time, and 5,000 is a lot for any business. What does this mean for this business in particular?
So we're a small independent practice, and we are a team of three. So we do have Christmas bonuses. So, you know, if the money's not there for us to have our Christmas bonus, which sometimes we rely on, I don't know how it will have an impact on us as staff over Christmas, but you know, £6,000 is an awful lot of money. So I just hope that, you know, we can put the word out to small businesses so that it doesn't happen to them.
And how has it maybe impacted you as a person? You were the one that put the, obviously it's not your fault, but how has it made you feel?
To be honest, yesterday I felt absolutely awful. Words doesn't explain how awful I felt, because it's something that could be such a smooth transaction and that should have been very straightforward, and in the blink of an eye, you know, it's not my money that I've lost, it's, you know, my boss's money, and he has to pay people's wages, and it just is awful. But it makes you second guess, you know, people that we know, or, you know, we may have to change the way that we deal with people that are not registered with us, and it may mean that there's certain transactions that we won't be able to do anymore. It makes you lose a lot of trust as a person, and quite sceptical for people as well. So it does change your outlook, and it makes you second guess a lot. So especially this morning, being on the till again, and trying to make sure that I was trying to, you know, make sure the card machine was in my arm's reach and that they wasn't physically handling it without me knowing.
So it's not known precisely how the man was able to steal the money, but Kent Police have told us they are investigating.
Kent Online reports.
Plans to convert a former office block in Folkestone into homes have been scrapped. The old saga site at Chariton Park has now been put on the market for £4 million. The four-storey building was due to be turned into flats with more houses built within the grounds, but developers have confirmed they're no longer taking on the project. Staying with housing news, and plans have been put in to turn a former hotel in Folkestone into emergency accommodation for people who are homeless. Charity bosses want to provide year-round housing at the old Hamlet Hotel in Shakespeare Terrace. If approved, the building could be converted into a 17-bed HMO. Meantime, controversial plans for homes on the site of a former orchard near Canterbury have been given the go-ahead. The idea of putting properties on land in Wickenbrough was first suggested 14 years ago. Seven properties have been approved, something residents have dubbed Millionaire's Row. And plans to turn a former nursery in Ashford into an SEN school have also been given the go-ahead. Jelly Beans in the King's North part of town shut shortly after the death of a 9-month-old baby following a choking incident. The building will now be turned into a provision for up to 70 children aged between 7 and 16.
Kent Online News.
Next today, and a social club in Herne Bay has won its bid to open later at night, despite concerns over loud noise. The facility on Clarence Road can now welcome guests until midnight on Fridays and Saturdays. It's also been given permission for a takeaway alcohol licence. Louise Quigley is the club's secretary.
It's a real good news story for the club. The club's for Herne Bay to have a community members club, and it's a social club. So, yeah, great news. Yeah, when we do have outdoor events, which tend to be in the summer, we do send out leaflets, post leaflets and information to neighbours and residents that are local in order to make sure that they're aware. We do try to keep the noise down outside of the parameters of the wall. We tend to then keep it inside, and we tend to move everything inside from about 9 o'clock. So we've been granted till 10 o'clock now, and the garden area is now licensed, which is good. But hopefully we'll work with the neighbours and residents close in the near future, keep sending out communications, and so that everyone's aware of what's what events are happening.
Kent Council's been left with an almost £100,000 legal bill after losing a challenge with a holiday park. The owners of Alberta Holiday Park in Seasalter launched an appeal after Canterbury City Council rejected their plans to expand. An inspector's now granted permission and told the authority to pay legal costs. Some sad news from a Kent Wildlife Park where a tiger has died. Keepers at Wingham say Blade suffered a sudden and concerning deterioration in his health, and they had to make the very difficult decision to put him to sleep. He'd been at the park since 2011. Meantime, a pair of lions are due to move to another Kent Animal Park. Sisters Zuri and Izulu are joining the big cat sanctuary in Smarden from Hertfordshire Zoo. They're set to arrive in the new year. It's thought the population of white lions is less than 24,000. And finally, a former school uniform shop in Gravesend could be turned into a laundrette. Plans have been submitted to convert the sewing shop in Echo Square. The store closed unexpectedly last year. A decision's expected in early 2025.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and it was a win for Gillingham at the weekend. They beat Salford City 1-0 at Priestfield on Saturday. It means the Gills have moved up to 10th in League Two. Let's get the thoughts first of manager Mark Bonner.
I think it was always going to be a really tough game because of maybe the moment we're in a little bit. And also the conditions obviously were like not great. Actually, it settled down a little bit in certain times, and there were pits in the second half where the ball's up in the air and coming back at you. So that picked up a little bit. But yeah, hard to be full flow in and everything else. And we tried to make ourselves a really competitive, stubborn team. So the way we play today isn't necessarily entertaining and isn't all guns blazing, go and chase everything. But we had a way in which we wanted to try and set the game up. We obviously changed the shape. We made loads of changes to the starting team and the squad overall. I needed some reaction from Wednesday, which we got. I really like the commitment of the team. And when you've got 26 games left or whatever it is, I think you just look at that and say, like, that is your minimum level that you have to you expect to see. And the players know that. And it's a good reminder to them and to us and to everybody else. We come out of the game with a really important result on a day against a team that are going very well, where we're very up and down and having some horrible moments and under the cosh a little bit. But we take 3 points from a really committed performance. And over the last four games, we've been really up and down. But we've taken two wins from four. And while we're trying to work out and work through the period that we're in, we have to find a way of just keep getting results. And sometimes that'll be ugly wins, and sometimes that might be good ones. And sometimes it's going to need to be getting some points out of games that we can't win or don't do well enough in to win, because we want to try and stack some results together. I said that a while back. But in the end, today's a good result. And if we're being truthful, that was probably number one on the list today. It always is. But it felt more important to them.
Goalscorer Jaden Clark also spoke to us after the final whistle.
We've been on a little bit of a bad run. It's just good to get the 3 points. But now, obviously, same thing happened with Port Vale when we got 3 points. But then I didn't feel like we built on that. I feel like now we definitely need to build on this 3 points and start a good run.
For anyone that had doubted the fight, the hunger and the desire, you really put in a performance to say that's us, that's what we do.
Yeah, I think we needed to. We have, obviously, there's been a lot of talking, saying that we care and stuff. And I think it was about time we showed it, because we do care. But yeah, as I said, we just need to now build on that, and that needs to be the minimum now. Like today, it needs to be the minimum in every game.
It's a really professional performance, wasn't it? In really horrible conditions, let's be honest. We got ourselves in front, and I thought our game management was excellent.
Yeah, I feel like, because on this run we've gone ahead a few times, and I don't feel like our game management's been the best when we have gone 1-0 up. But I think today, definitely, I think we've learned from the past game management, and it was a lot better today. But yeah, we just need to build on it, and needs to be like that until till the season ends.
And we've also been given an update on Joe Bode, who was knocked out during the match. The 19-year-old striker suffered a head injury and was stretchered off in the first half. Mark Bonner says he was up and about at half-time, but may have to be left out until given the all clear. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get details on all the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium as well. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.